Good evening. Welcome to Art Speak Radio. I'm Blair Shulman with my lovely co-host Maria Vasquez-Boyd on controls. This evening, the Kansas City Artist Coalition has been in existence since 1976. Its mission is to promote visual arts awareness in Kansas City and the surrounding region and support the professional growth of artists. The Artist Coalition is an artist-run, artist-center organization. Their website is www.kansascityartistscoalition.org. This Friday, April 9th, marks the 19th annual undergraduate student artist exhibition at the Artist Coalition in their Chernow Galleries, located at 201 Wyandotte in the River Market District of Kansas City. This evening, I am talking with Marissa Stark, Assistant Director of the Kansas City Artist Coalition, exhibition juror Tommy Frank, who is also studio manager of Red Star Studios, and participating artist Joey Watson. Guys, welcome to Art Speak Radio.
Thanks for having us.
So, Marissa, how many students are involved from the universities and colleges around here?
There's 51 students with 14 universities and colleges participating, 62 works.
That's great. And, like you said, this is the 19th annual exhibition. Why does the Artist Coalition decide to do this?
Actually, it came about 19 years ago. An organization here in Kansas City had been running something very similar and ended up closing their doors, so we decided that it was an important exhibition to continue, so we took on the role of hosting. And
that's great. How many colleges and universities are involved in this exhibition right now?
Currently represented in the exhibition, there's 14.
Mm-hmm.
The call is open to colleges and universities in Western Missouri and Eastern Kansas.
So how far out are you going?
There's a division line on the highways.
Okay. So folks out in Lawrence, Topeka?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. That's great. What was the criteria for participation, Tommy? What were you looking for in people who wanted to enter?
I think a lot of the works that I chose were based on virtuosity with the material. You know, we have a variety of materials that are in the show, a lot of good 3D work.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some good sculpture, ceramics, and mixed media, metalwork. There's some really nice jewelry pieces that are in, mm-hmm. some metalsmith pieces, as well as some really good paintings, drawings, and some prints. Photography's in there, too.
That's great. What were you looking for in the contribution to the exhibition?
I think the most important thing, especially with a student show, is people who are trying some new things. People who are in school, they're being educated on different types of historical things that have happened within their media. They have other pop cultural references that they're pulling into the work.
Uh-huh.
And so we're talking about work that's kind of pressing what's already been done, and we're kind of looking for what's moving forward in the variety of fields that are represented.
Mm-hmm. Did you so everything is on a visual basis. Are there other disciplines that are covered, like performance or spoken word or graffiti or street art, anything like that?
Most of the work that I saw seemed to be stuff you could put in a gallery. So
okay.
There weren't very many video submissions that I saw, mm-hmm. or the juring process didn't really give forward a lot of video, and so there weren't other records of performances or anything that was like that. I don't think we were excluding that. It would have been great to see it,
right.
But just most of the materials were pretty straightforward.
Sure. Marissa, how did you guys get the word out to everybody? I mean, that's a lot of land to cover and a lot of students.
We do hard copy mailings out to all the universities, the instructors, but we found over the past 2 years that emailing and Facebook,
mm-hmm.
having connections within the universities has been our biggest asset.
Sure. Social media seems to be the kind of, it's the new Pony Express. It really helps get a lot of word out to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have applied to enter in the show? As you said, you had how many?
We have 51 students.
And how many submissions did you receive?
We had a little over 300.
Wow, that's a lot. So how do you guys go through that process? Are you getting everything all at once? Are you dividing it by discipline? How's that working out? How did that work out?
Well, we take everything through call for entry.
Mm-hmm.
So they really help to parse everything.
Sure.
For the juror to look at. Tommy sees every image that's submitted, but only with What information did you get?
There were sizes of the pieces were included. The media was included, but where the students were from, what schools they were from, or what their names were was excluded. So it was basically just the work, the dimensions, and the media.
Did you notice? That's interesting. So it was really a democratic process. You didn't play favorites with one school over another, which is real.
No, they don't. The jurors never have any information. They're judging simply on the work itself.
That's great. And did you have size criteria? Were there things, it didn't matter if it was enormous or very, very small or things like that. Was that taken into account?
We don't have size restrictions. Mm-hmm. We haven't run into any issues on that in this show.
Mm-hmm.
We've had pieces that are up to 5 feet. I think in this exhibition we have one that's up about 7 feet
mm-hmm.
wide.
How big is the gallery size? I've been there, hundreds of times, and I know it's big, but how big is it exactly?
We have three gallery spaces. This exhibition is just on the first floor mm-hmm. in the Malin and the Charno exhibitions. Gallery dimensions. I'm not certain off the top of my head.
That's okay. I don't want to press you. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask either one of you. Is I've been a juror on a show before, and as you start looking at work, a theme becomes established, and we sort of went from there. Did you look for work with a similar cohesiveness?
I think I was trying to look for as much diversity as we can kind of put in, to round things out. My perspective personally is to come from stuff that's kind of sociopolitical, so there are a few of those pieces that mm-hmm. I think I was drawn to and wanted to include in the show.
Elaborate on sociopolitical. What do you mean by that a little bit?
Oh, I think some of it's just, seeing students who are conscious about some artwork that maybe from the past they could reference. There's a piece in particular I'm thinking of that references an art historical piece, but with kind of a new context, and so it was nice to see something like that. You've got the donkey and the elephant who are kind of taking a knife to the eagle of America,
So, yeah, it really is taking a more of a political slant.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Have you noticed that over how many years have you been doing this? Is this your first time jurying this?
I've juried a couple other things before, student shows mm-hmm. Mostly, and that's ranging from high school and college students alike.
Okay. And Marissa, how many years have you been doing this?
I've actually never juried an exhibition myself.
Okay.
Tommy's the only one that juries this show. I'm basically the one that collects everything, makes sure all the information's mm-hmm. in, and then gets it up on the walls and
sure.
execute.
So with all that work coming through the space, and are you looking at the work physically, or are you looking at it online first and then deciding? I mean, how does that process go? Elaborate for our listeners.
Sure. The call for entry is a website that you can go onto that mm-hmm. just has thumbnail images of the pieces. So it's really pretty interesting. Everything looks to be the same size within
uh-huh.
the same context. And you can kind of get an idea of, like, how large these things are in person. But we're not jurying from the work. With 300 pieces, it's easier just to do it online, which is great for me because I can do that, mm-hmm. from a distance and not necessarily have to be in the gallery. And it's also much less expensive for the students to have to get the work to the gallery,
sure.
not to mention the amount of space to try to see everything
sure.
in person.
Well, Joey, I wanted to ask you, how did you learn about the exhibition?
It was mentioned at my school, the professor, the...
Where do you go to school?
The Kansas City Art Institute.
And when are you and what year are you?
I'm in my final semester.
Okay, and what's your major?
Ceramics.
Okay, great. So you have a piece of ceramics in the show?
I've got a few things, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Why did you decide to participate?
Felt like it was a really good opportunity, and they really push at my school to just put your work out and apply to as many exhibitions mm-hmm. as you can. So
sure.
This is a perfect opportunity for that.
Now, we were talking before the show went on the air, you're not a local. What is it about Kansas City that wants you to stay here as an artist?
The department in particular was why I came out here, and then the community that is built around, mm-hmm. and particularly in ceramics, is appealing to hang around.
How so? Elaborate a little bit.
There's a really strong community and just galleries and stuff like that represent ceramics
mm-hmm.
Primarily, and just it being central in the country and whatnot, there's a lot of accessibility. So it seems like a smart idea not to try and take flight right away.
That's cool. So do you plan on staying here after you graduate?
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Do you find it's easy to make work here, aside from being a student, but also just if you were to stay and become an exhibiting artist?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, as long as I find a space to make the work in, but that's part of the challenge after graduating. But
mm-hmm.
absolutely, once there's space, there's as much time as I possibly
mm-hmm.
need.
Tommy, I wanted to ask you, what kind of trends – were you seeing when you were looking at this work? Was it going in one particular direction or another? Or how was that looking?
I think there was a lot of work that talked about people's personal identities. You know, so there's some things that are cultural identities that were kind of coming through, which was nice to see some diversity there.
Also, I'd like to have you elaborate a little.
There's one piece in particular, and I'm afraid I don't remember the name of the artist, but it's kind of a mandala-looking piece. It's a good size. It's probably 3 feet by 3 feet, maybe
that's
4 by 4.
Pretty big.
It's nice, you know, and it's very well executed, and I have no idea if that's the person's heritage or not, but the beauty of that type of symbolism being expressed, you know, is really great to see. And then there was a lot of other, you know, there's some portraiture that's in there, but there's also, I think, people kind of talking about place, and they're talking about environment. Some people are talking about material. So there's kind of a variety of trends, but I'd say that identity was I think, probably part of some of the work that was in there.
Do you think it's because of the age of the artist that they're kind of hitting this moment where they're going to stop being students and they're suddenly becoming adults and they have to go out in the real world? And
I think that there's some of that. I think that high school work usually shows a lot of self-identity stuff that's going on. In college work, we start to see things that it's identity, but it's also within the context of, I think, a cultural place.
Right. It's no longer so much navel-gazing as it is you start to broaden yourself. I mean, tell us, Joey, a little bit about your work. And how that is, because
just my process. You mean?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
I prototype my forms in a 3D modeling program called the Rhinoceros, and I mill those out with a computerized mill machine, and then take molds off of those. So I slip cast in the end all my forms and mix and match.
That's a lot. You know, I wanted to ask you guys, because you're seeing, and Tommy, especially with your work at Red Star and everything, you're seeing so much work that's so handcrafted. How does technology play into the trends that we're seeing in galleries today?
I was actually pretty conscious of that when looking at a lot of the work that was submitted, because there are a few pieces that were using CNC mills and other type of technology, and I really wanted to make sure we embraced that.
What is CNC? You're getting techie on me.
All right, CNC. Joey, what does that stand for?
You know, I was thinking I should probably look it up. It's some mouthful, but it's just a computer.
There's computers, there's numbers, and then there's another C, and they mean something altogether. But basically, you're using a computer program to basically control some type of arm. Now, that can be a knife, that could be a router bit, that could be an extruder. But what you're doing is creating a program that either works in layers to build up something or works in layers to take material away.
Well, that's interesting. So what does it do to a finished idea? I mean, does it help you execute your idea more fully, or does having to control the technology hold you back a little bit creatively? What's the rub here?
My process certainly doesn't stop at that point. You know, I make the molds after that, but then I mean, everything from there is completely my, you know, humanness, like adjusting and varying what's going on. So I take that kind of as like a template from the technological standpoint, and then just work with my molds and adjust things in my, you know, studio practices.
Cool. You know, I think we're going to take a little musical break right now, and then we're going to come right back, and I'm going to finish talking to my guests. So stay tuned and don't touch that dial. we're back. You're listening to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Blair Shulman, and my guests this evening are Marissa Stark, Assistant Director of the Kansas City Artist Coalition, Tommy Frank, Studio Manager of Red Star Studio, who is also an exhibition juror of their 19th Annual Undergraduate Student Artist Exhibition. That's a mouthful.
That's a lot.
And participating artist Joey Watson. But that was very compact. Before we took a break, we were starting to talk a little bit about how the show is being set up and all of that. Tommy, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit more about that. You were saying that...
We were kind of talking about, you know, different materials and some of those choice processes, you know, that and trends, I guess, that we saw within some of the work. I think that having the student show is a really great way of showcasing some of these new technologies that are coming in with, with art making. You know, with the computers, they've changed a lot of different media as far as how we think photography. I feel like that's something that we're all pretty familiar with now with things moving to digital photography. But, you know, the CNC routing and these other computer kind of generated things or computer manipulated processes, it's great to see students who are grabbing hold of this technology kind of in the same way that slipcasting did, you know, a couple decades ago, taking an industrial process in ceramics. You've got people doing CNC things within sculpture and you know, some other media.
What are people going to expect when they come to the opening Friday evening? How are they going to be presented? Is it set up by processes or disciplines? Or how did you guys decide to lay this whole thing out? Because this is a lot of work that people are going to look at. And how do you want them to traverse all of it?
We really try to incorporate everything together. There's underlying themes that maybe aren't immediately visible that connect certain walls to other works and walls and kind of helps to guide you through the exhibition. There's some that are a little bit more overt. But for the most part, we try to make sure that there's paintings on walls with photographs, with sculptures, so that everything is represented there.
You know, we were talking quite a bit about new technologies and everything, but I see a lot of artists, once they get out of school, they approach things with more of a DIY aspect. I mean, Joey, when you're in your studio, I mean, are you playing around with a lot of technology, or what's to be said about not being done with getting your hands dirty and just messing around?
Oh, there's plenty of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my hands are quite dry from all the dirtiness. But no, I mean, what's really wonderful is, I mean, after school, there's plenty of community for that fabrication, you know, to continue. There's fabrication labs and stuff, and it's, you know, I design something on my computer and take it with my flash drive and have it, you know, produced in real life, and from there, my ceramic process takes hold, you know, but up until then.
What happened to just grabbing a hunk of clay and just shaping something and hoping it turns out?
That was sophomore year.
Oh, sophomore year.
which has plenty to do with everything.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's just my articulation.
I mean, Tommy, you being at Red Star, which there I would say is probably the preeminent space for ceramics in Kansas City, what kind of things were you seeing here in this show that might lend itself to being at Belger or Red Star, rather?
Well, there's a few different with our facility. We've got a lot of different options for being, you know, people being able to use different types of clays and different materials for making. We have a plaster room and things like that people can access in order to build some molds. As far as getting into, you know, CNC technologies and things like that, those may be on the horizon for us because we want to be able to stay as relevant to the field as possible. But, you know, kind of like Joey was saying, you know, just because you've got a computer doing something, people might think it's easier or it's cheating.
I don't think,
more removed, maybe.
Yeah,
do you feel removed from it, or do you feel like you can get more into your head of what you're really thinking about? I mean, when you're making a piece, Joey, are you, like, sitting with a sketch pad? I just assume.
No. I mean, right, the modeling program really is a sketch pad, and there's an issue with a lot of, like, three-dimensional thinkers in that we can't represent flat, and so this gives an opportunity to really generate things in the round, you know, virtually before we make it real.
Wow.
So that helps.
Did you ask the people who submitted work to kind of explain what it was that they're doing, or did you let the work speak for itself? How did you guys ruminate over that? Did you allow people to have a chance? Because I think sometimes you want the work to have an explanation behind it, but then sometimes people over-explain it, and then you don't want to look at it anymore. I've seen that for sure.
For us, we don't ask for any information about process or anything like that. It's really juried and based on the image itself. So we really encourage students to make sure that the image and the photography is really perfect and spot on, because otherwise you could be disqualified based on bad imagery, photography.
So you want the submitted imagery to be perfect, but what about the work itself? Can it be in various states? Did you look for things that were that was very accomplished, or did you kind of let things slide because you thought that the idea behind it was more interesting than the actualization of something?
It's a great question, because I feel like when I was looking at the work, there was a delicate balance of both. I feel like it's important to have a student work that's being shown that might not have the same virtuosity of material, but they're really challenging some ideas about the material or some other conceptual ideas within the work. But then there's some that are just very wonderfully crafted. And so we really want to kind of celebrate both of those things.
Sure. And I think that this is a really great idea. Are there other places in Kansas City that are showing student work that are not – excluding the universities and colleges themselves, are there other galleries in town that have a focus on student exhibition work?
I'm personally not familiar, but maybe Joey knows.
The Lady Vulcus, I know. They have an underground space for undergraduate shows.
That's called the Spin... Wait, am I getting it right?
The Lady Vulcus, and then it's the underground undergrad.
Sure. And that's a great space. Are there other places like that around town?
There must be. I feel silly for...
No, it's okay, and I'm supposed to know all of this, too. it's really interesting to see how the students are migrating towards technologies, or rather, I should say they're embracing technologies, but there's certainly a lot to be said about just standing with a canvas and a paintbrush or a lump of clay. Do you feel that the students, while they're embracing these ideas and these technologies, are they still holding fast to the fundamentals of what it takes to actually produce work?
I think you'll always find a spectrum of that. I know that people that I've gone to school with, they stick just with the material. The material is king and the process is king. Mm-hmm. And there's other people who are very easily going to abandon something like that for their concept. I feel like students are working so much in different medias while they're in school that they're just trying to put as much of that stuff together as they can before graduation. And then it really hits after graduation, and they're trying to make decisions about a living or a future or
career. That's what we were just talking about. I mean, the first question I think I asked you, Joey, is, are you going to graduate school? And it's like, no, don't say yes, not right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really difficult. I know. Once you graduate, it's like, okay, I'm no longer in school anymore, and now I have to think about what's going to happen next. Do you think that Kansas City really supports that an artist's potential?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's good facilities in the city. You just got to put yourself in the right place and make sure you're working hard and have good work. You know.
I think so. Marissa, how long is the show? The show opens on Friday night, which is April 11th. No, April 9th. No.
Today's April 9th.
I knew I was off a couple of days. How long is it up for?
It is a shorter show. It runs until the 25th.
Okay.
So it's only 2 weeks.
So what happens after the work is, after the exhibition is done? Do you have everybody come all at once and gather it? I think a lot of our listeners, they walk into a gallery space and they see things on the wall. And, the magic just happens, and there's, all these magical elves who just make all the curating happen. But there's so much more that goes behind it. How do you organize people coming in to take their work back and bring their
really
work in?
It's a really fine-tuned process. After 19 years, we've kind of figured out the ins and outs and what works and what doesn't work. But we do a lot of emails letting everybody know exactly what needs to be done. We have everything figured out on the front side for us, and they have to sign in. They have to bring certain information with them, and then they drop it off. If there's any handling or installation instructions, they have to go over that with us, and then they do the same thing essentially on the end of the show. When they come to pick it up, we have them sign it back out, and if they are not picking up the work themselves,
sure,
then we have to have a release form because we won't give it away to just anybody.
And that's good.
Although,
yeah, so it's not just one big clam bake where everybody's just kind of running in. And well, you know, and I guess the other part that – I guess the other thing that's to your advantage is that the work is finished. And I've been to – I think we've all been to a lot of shows where the opening is Friday and Thursday you go into someone's studio and they're like, the paint's not dry yet.
Yeah.
And it's actually, let's put it on the wall. The paint's not dry yet.
Yeah. The envy of every ceramicist, you know, that the painters don't have to put things in a kiln, you know.
Yeah.
It's still
it can be
hot.
Dripping wet.
Is it dripping? Is it boiling hot when you take it to the space?
Oh, certainly not.
No. Well, that's good. But sometimes the paint is still wet.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the benefits of having that the student show is the professional development that comes along with it too. It's kind of like a nice crash course to what it's like out here in the pro world.
I think that's exactly right, and I think that's a great introduction to having them behave. You become an artist because you want to be an artist and you want to express yourself, but you also have to be something of a business person as well,
right.
And you have to treat yourself accordingly because you're not just working amongst yourselves. You're working with people who are in business to want to show your work, and it has to be done properly. Show is going to be on Friday, April 11th at the Kansas City Artists Coalition in their Charnel Galleries. They are located at 201 Wyandotte, and that's in the River Market neighborhood. And for more information, you can go visit their website at kansascityartistscoalition.org. And I want to thank Marissa, Tommy, and Joey for being on the show this evening. And now I'm going to pass things over to the lovely Maria Vasquez Boyd.
Okay, I do want to let you know that next week I will have Vox Naro on, and they're a group of writers that paired with different members of the community in the Northeast that will have a cultural celebration presentation, food, literature, traditional music at the Northeast Public Library. Blair, do you want to tell people who's coming up next? Stay tuned for...
Why don't you stay tuned for Art to Microchip, followed by L.A. Theater Works at 7 p.m., Chamber Music with Dr. Mike at 9 p.m., and Vibes with Val at 11 p.m. Thank you for listening, and thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week at 6 p.m.